'Tis the season to be Jewish.
Thank you for listening to Hog Story, where this episode will be as long as the winter solstice day, or something like that. I'm Fletcher.
Get out of my house.
No, but you can stay in the smoker. That's where I'm at. That's where you are. It's the 22nd of December, 2025. It's almost Christmas. But I'm trying to get back in the habit of doing the show, so I figured I'd do one today. Why did I turn the music all the way down? That's because I'm not quite used to it yet. That's right.
'Tis the season to be Jewish.
That's what they say. I heard Trump's a Jewish president for whatever reason. That's cool. I don't really care. I'm sure some people are up in a tizzy over it. Why not? Of all the things to get in a tizzy in, you should get in a tizzy over that. Lots of tizzies to be had. If you, if you're having a tizzy, go ahead and give me a call, 430-201-4841. I want to hear all about it. I want to, listen in while you have a tizzy. Maybe you're on the tism spectrum. A tism tizzy that you're having. Well, what's been going on? Well, besides yesterday being the solstice. Oh, you know what? I did grab a couple of idiotic solstice clips. Let's turn it down. We'll turn it down. Without playing like any of the scientific things as to, you know, what makes the solstice a solstice, figured I'd get in one of these YouTube ladies that rubs crystals and tells you about her feelings. And, what's her name? Erica Elmutz. Don't know anything about her other than, just randomly seeing her video, deciding to watch it. And then for reasons you'll find out later, I laughed.
So the solstice does not bring new energy. Mm-hmm. It simply reveals what's already there and illuminates to us what we can no longer carry forward.
Yeah, but that sums up her entire 17-minute-long video. I watched it so you don't have to, but I will put it in the show notes in case you want to also torture yourself. But the great part that made me laugh was these. I have a couple of them. Just listen. This is indicative of a lot of women's videos on YouTube nowadays.
The sun is returning. Happiness, joy. Where have we been living in darkness and being called to more joy?
Yes. Excuse me. The old poverty pager, as Pfeiffer calls it. Why is it? It's usually women that, and black people that have their smoke alarms going off in the background. Can they not hear it? It's so loud. It reverberates off of everything. I mean, what she said in the clip didn't matter. It was the long pause and the perfect timing of the chirp. You know, she's just blathering on about what these, she's just pulling random tarot cards. I should have clipped the part where she talked about starting over. how I guess she just didn't get cards she liked, so she just started over with a new deck and then hit record again. I mean, I've done the same thing with the show, I suppose.
This is soul contracts. This is healing. This is nurturing.
Ah, yes. Thanks, Erica. Yeah, maybe she doesn't know what that sound means. Maybe she thinks it's just a bird. And maybe she ignores it because birds aren't real. I don't know. I really don't. I know there was a voicemail that I didn't play last week. I think I'll play it now. I only have, like, one new voicemail. Come on, leave me a voicemail. You know you want to. 430-201-4841. Even if you're listening to this on the recording and not live, go ahead. Leave me a voicemail. Tell me anything you would like. There is no prompt. Should there be? You tell me. 430-201-4841. Actually, this jingle says it better.
Hey, hey, John. Hey, Carolyn. How's it going?
Excellent.
Awesome. I was just checking in with you guys, you know, see how it's going.
Whatever.
But yeah. I was just waiting for a hog story. Love you guys. Bye.
Totally. Take a chill pill.
Yeah, you tell him, Carolyn. Yeah.
That's gnarly.
No, thanks, Pfeiffer. Nice. Shout out to the old times. Carolyn is doing well. Let's see. I'm doing pretty good myself. I started a new job. I'm no longer fixing musical instruments. I'm what they call a monument maker, which is a fancy way of saying I engrave headstones. Which is interesting. It's artistic in a way. And I enjoy it. It, you know, it keeps me occupied. I get to move around. I work indoors and outdoors. I get to drive a forklift. I get to, you know, move around dangerously heavy stones. I get to hear horror stories from my coworkers about guys before me who have hurt themselves. One guy dropped a stone on his foot, had to have his foot amputated, then it got infected, then he died. Yeah, true story. Had a coworker, a guy I started with. One day, unfortunately I wasn't there, he started arguing with the two other guys that were training us, and he got upset, like heated, saying things like, oh, I never lost a fight. And, you know, there's no way I can lose a fight because I'll just come up here and shoot you two. He threatened to shoot them. And then said he had a shotgun in his truck, which I believe him. I believe that he did. He was let go. But easily let go, because nobody wants an incident like that at work. But yeah, I can't believe I missed it. Can't believe I wasn't there. Oh, I have steel-toed boots, Radix, but some of these stones are like half a ton. Sometimes they're a full-on ton, depends on what type of granite it is and like how large. But most of the time they're like 500 and 600 pounds. Like, if I dropped it from any height, it's going to crush my toes in that little steel toe cup. Yum. But it's still a fun job. I get to operate an overhead crane. I even work with a computer to do the layouts, because everything's stenciled on with a rubber stencil and then, you know, sandblasted. And, yeah, it's still fun. It still takes some finesse to do the stenciling. Yes, I know, I'm a tracer, but that's okay. There's still hand tools up there. We still got all the chisels and things for, like, individual lettering and all that. And every now and then we have to, like, reshape a stone that's been damaged in shipping. Like, a lot of the, well, all the gray granite that we get it from Georgia. I guess that big granite rock that's up in Georgia. And sometimes it's damaged when it arrives because they really don't give a shit. I don't know how I never went to what's it called? In Georgia. That big granite rock sticking up out of the ground. Granite rock or something. Georgia granite rock. Rock park. Georgia Guidestones. Nar. What is that place? Stone Mountain. Oh, yeah. Yet another generic name. I was close. Stone Mountain. But a lot of granite there. I don't think we're getting it exactly from Stone Mountain, but I know there's granite quarries close by. Somewhere up there in Northwest. Georgia. And then, all the quote, colored stones we get from overseas, like India. Lots of different color of granite out there. But that's fun. The voicemails are open, so please leave me a voicemail. 430-201-4841. And if you are able and so inclined, I do believe the clean feed's open. But that's not the same number. I do have some clips, and I'll get into them in a minute. Oh, thanks, Twitter, X, whatever. Naturally, when I go back to the page, it's taking me off of whatever I was looking at and refreshed my feed. Cool. Never mind. That's okay. You know, I do have a thing to talk about. I don't have any clips of it, but it doesn't matter.
Now for movie reviews with Hard Story.
Down in front. I watched a real piece of crap movie called The Flash. It's a DC Comics property. And, wow. Like, what crap? When did this movie come out? Because it's got, like, I guess 2023. And so as part of their Justice League tie-in. And, well, the first thing I noticed when the Flash uses his flashy power and it gets all electrical, the electricity, it sounds like farts when it starts up. I wanted to clip it, but the music, the swelling of the orchestral music behind him really drowned out the fart. But it's there. It's just, and then boom, takes off. And for some reason, Ben Affleck's Batman is in a CG bat suit, much like the Green Lantern, another DC property. They're all about making their characters look rubber, I guess, with their crappy CG costumes. Didn't they learn their lesson? I don't know. However, when Michael Keaton shows up in this Flash movie as Batman, he's in a bat suit. It's not computer generated. Just Ben Affleck. So I don't know. Maybe they couldn't find one that fit him and his giant head. But it's full of like lame, quirky humor. Like the guy's quirky and weird and socially awkward. How endearing. It's not. It's really not. It makes for an annoying movie. But he has to go back in time and he meets himself. And then it gets the awkwardness really doubles down. And that's all I wanted to say. If you see it, avoid it. It's not cool. I don't know why DC can't make a decent superhero movie, or whoever owns DC, or the, you know, whatever those rights. Is that Warner Brothers or Netflix now? Did Netflix buy Warner Brothers? I don't know. I heard about it. Oh, they're still fighting over it. Oh, okay. Thanks, Radix. Parents put the money. Oh, I got to say thanks to you for the checks that have been coming in. Been getting them. Thank you very much. Longtime producer of the show. What a guy. Baron Spud the Mighty. Or Radix023. Which you have a way. Yeah, let's see. Because Paramount wants... Paramount's new hostile offer to Warner Brothers. Isn't CNN part of that deal too? Aren't they owned by Warner Brothers or something? It doesn't matter. Just make it to where one company owns all the companies. Just get on with it. Why do we even have antitrust laws? You know? I gotta keep muting myself. Coughing. I'm getting over some crud from a few weeks ago. Yeah, just let one company own everything. The food, the media, all of it. Just do all of it. Why? We don't care. We don't care anymore. As long as you bring me my goodies by the time I want them, and I don't have to wait too long, and I get free shipping, then we're cool. Then we're cool. I did some decorating for Christmas, as in I just plugged in the laser thing and pointed it at my house, and now there's spinny laser dots on the front of the house. I'm not putting up lights. I'm also not looking directly at the ones on the side of the house. Anybody watch the 50 Cent P. Diddy dealio? That's full of terrible stuff. I mean, it's just a lot of shit talking. Did P. Diddy order the hit on Tupac? I mean, anything's possible. It's been so long now, who cares? What difference does it make? You know, he got off light with all those charges of the things he did. Just like all the people that have enough money to make decisions and buy their way out of problems. But good for him, I guess. I don't know. What are people pissed about? That I don't know, really. Are they upset about... Oh, I know. The new... what was it? What were they talking about? What do they call it? Trump's smart wall. That's what it was. That's what some people were upset about. Let's go... Oh. CBP.gov. Don't mind if I do. They continue to strengthen border security with 5 new smart wall contracts in Texas and Arizona. What exactly is a smart wall? Well, they've announced the award of 5 new contracts totaling $3.3 billion dollars for the construction of smart wall. Capitalized. It's a proper noun. Construction of smart wall along the U.S. Mexico border in Texas and Arizona. With these latest awards, the total contracts awarded for smart wall construction now reach $8 billion. Oh, good. What makes it so smart? The smart wall includes a steel bollard wall, along with roads, detection technology, we won't tell you what kind, cameras, lighting, and in some cases, waterborne barrier or a secondary wall, and creating a double layer barrier burrito. In total, these five new contracts will add 97 miles of primary border wall system. Oh, sure. But I want to know, what's so smart about it? It doesn't sound so smart. Haven't you always had cameras? Well, you didn't give me much information there, CPB or CBP. Ballot blog. Economic. Oh, wait, Fox might say something favorable. As in, like, let's slip what's actually in there. The administration. Yeah, uh-huh. Lots of wall. The smart wall is important. Yes, we know. Again, with the 3.3. The contracts will also add 149 miles of detection technology around pre-existing border structures where the smart wall construction is not complete. What does that mean? 149 miles of detection technology, like wires under the ground, microwave towers. How come this lady looks like she's like got Star Trek makeup on under her makeup? Let's just see. I'll put this in the chat. You see what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. Copy that image. Can you see this woman? Yeah, look at her. She looks like she's wearing, like, whatever species that was in Star Trek where they had, like, a divider line down the middle of their face. It's her. Oh, Christy Nome. Is that who that is? That sure is. Man, she is an unhappy-looking lady. Probably a stressful job. Yeah, but tell me more about this tech. You guys are very vague on this tech. What does the American Tribune say? It's the key to protecting our country. Of course it is. Oh, it's part of the Big Beautiful Bill Act. Of course it is. Oh, it just gives the same thing. The 149 miles of detection technology. Which is... we don't know. Cool stuff, neat stuff, slick stuff. NPR had mentioned something about data sharing, yet another vague term. What is data sharing as pertaining to a border wall? What does MSN.com say? Someone give me information, please. Alas, there shall be none. Yeah, no description of what this tech is. Well, cool. I'm glad I'm kept safe by mystery tech. I guess that's always been the case, though. We don't find out about it till, you know, they can't make money off of it anymore. Or weaponize it. Then we get it. Oh, is there a smart wall map? Show me the smart wall. It's interactive. Please. I want to interact with it. Ah, yes. Oh, so much interaction. the zooming, the legend. I get to look at a legend. How interactive. Yes. Wow. The interaction is supreme and severe here at cbp.gov. They let you zoom in and out on this map. That's amazing. Well, I guess I can't find out any real information quickly on what exactly this technology is. Detection technology. Are they landmines? Technically, landmines are detection technology, you know? Is it just like a wire with bells? That's detection tech. Do you, like, I don't know, catch Mexicans with tamales on a string or something? Detection tech. Who knows? If you know, give me a call, 430-201-4841. If you have any of this detection technology I can borrow, I promise I'll give it back. Just leave it in the voicemail. 430-201-4841. Yeah, serpent, whoopee cushion. Detection technology. a fucking, like, row of chihuahuas tied to a fence. Detection tech. Detect tech. Well, how about this? The sole only voicemail here. Let's play it, shall we?
Hoo-yah!
Oh, why, thank you.
Hey, Hack Story. Just want to let you know that last time when I called and said Merry Christmas and I sound like I was dying, it was because I stubbed my toe. I thought I lost a toenail. I was ready to puke, and I heard you on the radio. And I was, why am I even? This was a. I should have said something other than all this. I wasted everybody's time with this voicemail.
No, you didn't. We love to hear about your toes and your nails.
I love you.
I love you. I'm going to call you back. Let's call him. It usually doesn't ring for this long. Still ringing. Do you have Do Not Disturb on? Do Not Disturb has been turned off, I think. How long will it ring?
You've reached Nick the Rat Radio. Please leave a message after the beep.
Hey, Nick. I just wanted to say thanks for sharing your story about your toes. And your toenails. Mary Thomas. Is that your name? Thomas. The tow engine. You can do stuff to me with your toes. I don't know why I did that in that way, but that's the way I did it. And that's the way it will stay. You can give Nick the Rat a call, too, if you want to. 917-719-5923. He's in the sewers, and he wants to hear from you. He wants to know about your toes. I'm pretty sure. I don't see why not. Why wouldn't he? And, well, let's see. I've got, a couple of interesting things from none other than my favorite, your favorite, NPR. And it's, well, they're talking about this.
What's the deal with Jewish people eating Chinese food on Christmas?
What is the deal? I mean, I know the reason. You know the reason. It's a simple reason. But nothing's very simple on NPR except that they have to simply emotionally manipulate you. And that's what they're trying to do here. With asking the simple question of, why do Jewish people eat Chinese food on Christmas? We know the answer, but let's hear it from them.
It is a holiday tradition for many Jewish families, ordering Chinese takeout on Christmas. A group of podcasters at Edgemont Junior Senior High School in Scarsdale, New York, wanted to know where this tradition came from. Students Alan Chan, Jason Chen, Blake Feinstein, and Max Wang filed this report for NPR Student Podcast Challenge.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you know it's going to be great when it's a high school podcast. But this is a podcast, this, Hog Story, playing clips of NPR, which they released as a podcast. But they, too, are playing clips of a podcast. How deep can we go? Maybe another podcast will play clips of this podcast, playing clips of that podcast, which was playing clips of the other podcast. Anyway, so where was I? Oh, yeah, so the high school student, his name is Max Wang. He'll set it up.
I'm Max Wang, and today I'm here to discuss that strange and beautiful connection between Jewish American and Chinese American cultures.
Also
between Chinese restaurants being the only ones open on Christmas, to historically kosher menus or tolerant environments, the tradition of Jewish families sitting around a table with chow mein and General Tso's chicken is a long-established one with deep-rooted history.
Oh, tabarnak.
Yeah, you said it. Well, he said the reason. And then he had to come up with all these contrived, like, getting the feels reasons as to why. Which is just, I don't know. Maybe they couldn't find anything to talk about. Maybe there's some sort of programming I'm not aware of in this subject matter. I don't know. But the high school kids talked to a rabbi. And the rabbi had to make it clear right here.
I for sure know about the stereotype of Jews eating Chinese food. I want to make it clear that there's no like Jewish ritual connected to that. It's a very like American Jewish custom.
Yeah, just in case you didn't know, it's not in the Torah anywhere about going to eat Chinese food. Thanks, Rabbi. And he's got more to say, of course.
I think there's a practical reason for that, which is that it's totally...
Wait, you think? No, you know. You know the practical reason. We all know.
I think there's a practical reason for that, which is that it's totally possible that the owners of the Chinese restaurant are not Christian because they're Buddhist, or they are open because there's a sizable number of people that are not celebrating Christmas that are willing to order Chinese food for whatever reason.
Yeah, you nailed it. You know why? It's because it's the only place open.
And in the midst of that holiday spirit for Jewish
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's the only place open, but because they got to soak up the runtime, they got to tell you all these, like, emotional, they got connections to the Chinese people who are just like, oh, you know, we're not Christian, let's non-Christians bind together and, I don't know, buy our food. So... Then one of the other students goes out and talks to a Chinese restaurant owner. And I still haven't figured out what the guy said.
And in the midst of that holiday spirit for Jewish customers, it's also important to note the perspective of Chinese American restaurant owners like Henry Chen.
The most, you know, is the Jewish people come into the restaurant on the Christmas day.
I got the last one. Under the Christmas day. Yeah. Solid, thanks. We need subtitles. And, here's more bogativity from the rabbi.
You know, Jews and Chinese Americans as minorities, I think, have an interesting connection in that, you know, we as two different minority communities within America recognize the importance of keeping tradition and culture. We think about...
Wait. But eating Chinese food is not part of the tradition. But you and the Chinaman recognize the importance of having tradition. And you were like, yes, we shall do it together. I don't know what this guy's trying to say. I guess he's grasping for it.
Minority communities within America recognize the importance of keeping tradition and culture. Mm-hmm. We think about some of the difficulties with being immigrants and being recognized as immigrants at different moments in our time as Americans or our parents or grandparents, and also the amazing gift that America offers all immigrants.
But America is immigrants. Like, the people that weren't immigrants, like, live in Oklahoma and Utah and Arizona now and New Mexico. Like, you know, we're all immigrants. It's just odd that was on NPR. Maybe all it was just trying to pull at heartstrings or something. With, oh, it is a tradition that reminds me of home, or whatever. But to try and make it more than just practicality. Which came first? Like, the Jewish person noticing that Chinese restaurants were open, or the Chinese restaurant that noticed Jewish people were hungry on Christmas? I don't know. But it's not for any other reason. It's not like the Chinese man was like, oh, another immigrant. Oh, suffer. Even though that's Japanese. I sell egg roll. But that was recent. That was from today. I heard that today on NPR. And in looking it up to take the audio, I found they did this story before. In 2017. How did I miss it? Especially, when, who was this? What was this guy's name? Peter Siegel. No, Robert Siegel. Robert Siegel. Saying something like this.
'Tis the season to be Jewish.
Aha! Mm-hmm. I like his presentation better. What does he have to say? Oh, there's just a little short intro here. I didn't take all of it.
What is the most American thing a Jew can do on Christmas? For me, it's to go to work. Let one more Christmas observer have the day off.
Oh, how noble.
But when it's time to send out for lunch on Christmas Day, I do as so many of my co-religionists do. I send out for Chinese food.
Mmm. Because it's the only thing open. But, this guy, Robert Siegel, also talks to a rabbi. I mean, you gotta. And this rabbi had some interesting things to say.
You have a chapter in the book called We Eat Chinese Food on Christmas.
Oh, yeah, wait. Yeah, I guess I cut that part out. Anyway, the rabbi, Joshua Plout, wrote a book, A Kosher Christmas, 'Tis the Season to be Jewish. And so then Robert asks him about a chapter in his book.
You have a chapter in the book called We Eat Chinese Food on Christmas. How long has this been going on?
At least since 1935, according to the New York Times, which cites that a man by the name of Eng Shi Chuck brought chow mein on Christmas Day to the Jewish children's home in Newark, New Jersey. That's the first written citation of Jews eating Chinese food on Christmas.
Mm. So he just brought it there and left it? Didn't make them pay for it? I guess not. It's a children's home. Well, he says that. It goes back to 1935. Mm. The very next sentence, he says this.
And this has developed. This has become quite common over the years.
Yes, actually, Jews eating in Chinese restaurants goes back to 1899, when the American Jewish Journal, a weekly publication, criticized Jews for eating at non-kosher restaurants and singling out in particular Jews who flocked to Chinese restaurants. So this marriage between Jews and Chinese food really goes back to when Jews and Chinese people were immigrants in the United States.
Oh, so it goes back even further. 1899, which... Yeah, well, I'm not Jewish, so I don't know exactly what kosher means. You know, I'm sure there's a bunch of rules and that sort of thing. Let's go to Shabbat.org. Basic kosher, certain species of animals and their eggs and milk are permitted for the consumption, while others are forbidden, notably pork and shellfish. Meat and milk are never combined. Separate utensils used for each, okay. Meat must come from animals that are slaughtered in a specific, painless manner, known as shekita, I guess. Shekita. And certain parts of the animal, including the blood, must be removed. Fruits and vegetables and grains are basically always kosher, but must be insect-free. Wine and grape must be certified. Since even a small trace of non-kosher substance can render a food not kosher, all processed foods... Okay, blah, blah, blah. But what about... rules? That was... meh. I don't really want to take the time to do it. I should have done that before the show. But, okay. Obviously, there are rules about being kosher. He talks about some of it here in this next thing, which is why I was wanting to look it up.
Which raises the question of a phrase sometimes used to describe Chinese food, safe treif, using the Hebrew word for unkosher food, treif. What's the deal here?
Jews in Chinese restaurants are eating all sorts of non-kosher food items, such as shellfish, pork products, which are hidden in a wonton or in some type of egg roll. And so you're able to partake in this wonderful delicacy without actually knowingly eating this non-kosher food item. Also in Chinese restaurants, there is no use of milk. Mm-hmm. So this is a place you can engage in eating this food that seemingly is okay and kosher, but really is not, and still have a smile and delight in it without feeling guilty.
But he said that you don't know you're eating it, but he knows he's eating it. You know? You just contradicted yourself. Do I have that clip from, what's the name? Oh, Waggy Finger. Contradicted. Old Bernie. Oh, yeah, I do.
You just contradicted yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Jews, I have the transcription. How pleasant. Maybe I should do those for this show. Or not. Jews in Chinese restaurants are eating all sorts of non-kosher food items, such as shellfish, pork products, which are hidden in a wonton or in some type of egg roll. So you're able to partake in this wonderful delicacy without actually knowingly eating this non-kosher food item. So is that the stipulation in Judaism? Is that if you eat a non-kosher item, it's okay if you didn't know that you did it? And so by claiming that you don't know the exact ingredients of the egg roll or the wonton, it's okay that you ate the crab, simulated crab meat, which is some kind of fish. But whatevs. I guess if the rabbi said it was okay, it's okay. I mean, honestly, are the ancient food traditions really that important nowadays? You're spitting in the face of the FDA by having your kosher, your stuff. You're saying our federal government might lie to us about what's safe to eat.
'Tis the season to be Jewish.
Yes. It is. Well, I knew it was going to be a short episode, just because it's Christmas time. There's lots of stuff to do and get ready for, and I've been doing it. And so instead of yammer on, without much to actually talk about, I'll go ahead and I'll get out of here the way the owner of the restaurant does, is in and out, super quick, you know, go use bathroom at house. Maybe I will. I hope everyone has a very Merry Christmas. You can let me know with a voicemail, 430-201-4841. And, well, it'll be next Monday, it'll be the 29th. So you can tell me all about your Christmas then, and what you plan on doing for New Year. And, well, thank you everybody for listening and supporting the show, Baron Spud the Mighty. Always thinks Void Zero and no bit. Cold Acid is in there. Old BP. And Serpent. And others. You know who you are. I'll thank you later. Pfeiffer, I see you. I love you. I'm gonna kiss you on the mouth. And until then, you can kiss Jeff Goldblum in the mouth with a mirror. And I want to see that, because I've been Fletcher. Adios.
He didn't fall proto, buddy. You're done.
Oh, no.
I like fresh air, motherfucker. And you're dumb.
Go fuck yourself.
You're Jeff Goldblum.
I need it.
Net-net, I like him.
That's my hot meal.
Dude, are you half retarded?
You guys Google.
This is a great way to end a podcast. We'll have to do it again. Always, weirdo. I'm only going to kiss you in your sleep, though. You can take that consent and shove it up your ass.
I got fire, I got beer, and I got some joints.
Mm-hmm.
Super gay and lame and retarded.
Okay.
But now people are going to think we're like twinsies.
I thought we were. Oh, speak of the devil. Speak of the devil.
Hey, I'm ready to go. Start the show. Dude, I was rushing home to talk to you.
Oh, man. Oh, my bad, yeah, dog.
It's all right. No biggie. I should have texted you or something. Or
what are you doing next Monday?
I will be talking with you.
Yes, let's do it next Monday.
Okay.
Sure. I don't want to talk to you now, though. Get the fuck out of here. No, I'm kidding. I don't want to talk to you until then. Get the fuck out.
No, I want Jewish Chinese food is what I want. You want...
That irked me so much hearing it, like, on the radio. Like, they really puffed it up before, like... Oh, so-and-so's gonna tell us about the deep connection between the Jews and the Chiners.
And then the guy was wrong. Like, it's really not a thing, but it's a deep connection.
Yeah, it's not a thing at all, but it is, and it's deep. And we love it, and they love us.
Was the one guy in the study was named Wang, was it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was his name. That was his last name.
Of course it was.
Max Wang.
Max, that's what I heard. Okay, yeah. When I was driving, I'm like, Max Wang.
Max Wang. Not Min Wang, but Max Wang.
Now from Pornhub,
Max Wang. Talking about Jews. Oh, how did I not play my Asian niggas clip?
Asian niggas.
Asian niggas.
Yeah.
You're probably fake ass motherfucking robots that everyone keeps talking about. You're not getting my friendship if you're going to be a fucking fake ass motherfucker.
Yeah, you hear that? You hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck you, you retarded fat motherfucking retarded fucks. I'm a hot ass chick showing her boobies and shit.
I don't want to yeah, it's 2025, Ned, you fucking bigot.
But it feels gay.
I think that now you can be bigoted. Make bigoted like bigoted's good again or something. I don't say make bigots great again, but
no, we want to.
I think it's like telling women to make sandwiches.
No, we just want to make Americans bigots again.
Make Americans bigots again.
Yep. Make we're all Archie make. Bunker in traffic.
Oh, most definitely.
Why did you say that name?
I wonder what the most popular dish is among Jewish people.
Oh, look at that ISOBot works. Christmas. Sorry.
That's all right.
What were you saying?
Something
about Jewish.
I wonder what's the most popular dish among them. It's something like fucked up.
It's the cheapest thing.
It's like egg foo young. You're like, fuck, what? Ugh.
'Tis the season to be Jewish.
To be Jewish.
Super entirely gay and lame and retarded.
No, yeah. I was just excited to see that Cotton Gin. I don't think he actually had to do anything. It was set to the old thing. Now hogstory.net/stream is working again. That's what it is. Yeah. So, yay, Cotton Gin for not doing anything. He's good at that.
Hi there, bluegrass fans.
Sorry, what?
There's multiple things I was going to ask you. I'll have to remember them, write them down.
Oh, yeah.
Put them in my...
in your show notes?
Notebook. Little notebook.
Yeah?
Yeah, you're sucking on your mom's tits.
Hell yeah, I am.
I mean, we all are in some ways.
We all are in some ways. It's the healthiest.
So you can go fuck a goat's asshole.
Ooh, hello. For Christmas.
Yeah, the goat's going to be wearing a little Santa hat.
Mommy, teacher says it's not Christmas until somebody fucks a goat in the asshole.
Well, you better get after it.
Doo-doo pedals.
I didn't get shot in the leg of the war for you to not go fuck that goat. Do it.
You know what I watched tonight?
I stole Florida. It from them commies. No. What?
It's Florida, man. I watched an episode of that, and it's this guy that gets his arm bit off by a gator after he decides to, like, crawl into the fucking swamp after cleaning trash up. It's just crazy. But,
gay.
He had a line in there that he said. He goes, I'm not the sharpest tool in this shed, but I'll stab you with the sharpest tool in this shed. Which I thought was awesome.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. apparently it's like almost like Tales from the Road or... What were those animated ones? Do you remember where they had Tales from the Tour Bus?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of like that, but it's just like with Florida people, and it's all real. Like, it's not like cartoonish. But they have actors reenact real events.
Oh.
And they have the person talking about the events also that happened in Florida.
Man, I'm staying in Shreveport, Louisiana now. And
is it hotter there than fucking Texas?
It's more humid, but it's just because it's right on the Red River.
Yeah.
But man, if I wasn't, but if I was a fan of Swamp People, I wouldn't have to watch it. It's around me.
Because you're surrounded by
every day.
The gator up in there, is there?
Yeah, we go down in there and go, shoot it.
Shoot a little bit.
Exactly.
Do they have good Cajun food around by you?
You know, surprisingly, no.
Wow. Huh.
The barbecue, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is it like Texas, or is it more like their own shit?
No, it's a lot like Texas barbecue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
They probably got those, like, pits where there's guys out there all day.
I think that, like, whatever is in the local environment, you know, that the pigs are eating... I think that has something to do with it. Yeah, there's just something about the fucking pork here that's I don't know, it's more flavorful.
Okay.
It's like eating my own kind.
Huh. Can't beat good barbecue. Is it as expensive as fuck like it is up here?
No.
That's what I want. I remember in like Alabama.
Yeah. Like,
it was cheap.
Like getting
beer. It's like, getting a top cut. And you're like, no, it's at the bottom of the fucking cow. You see it right there? It's called fucking the bottom cut.
No, like under $10, I get enough food. If I eat it all, I'm going to fall asleep in a chair.
And the itis.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what I want.
Hell yeah.
Is can I, for a reasonable price, get enough of that food to make me sleepy? That's all I want. And the answer is yes.
Sides too? Or?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm. I'd be good with just greens anyways.
Oh, yeah. With red beans and rice, fucking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm. Or just their beans? Man, what? Oh, there's this place called Podna's that,
yeah. Is it like partner?
Yeah,
like
P-O-D-N-A apostrophe S. Podna's. Their beans. They're just their fucking beans are so good.
The pit smoke, like.
I don't know how to describe them. They're, like. It's like they grew the beans inside of a smoker. They lived there, they died there, and they're delicious.
These them smoking beans, they be smoking when they're born.
Yeah, they smoke when they're born. They smoking when they die. Them smoking bean. Now, you want a large order than them smoking bean? Or? We only got one side. Inside of my spoon.
I know the place in Alabama we go to would have a pulled pork sandwich, but the bun was hoe cakes, which are like a thick ass cornmeal pancake.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was good. But like that one, even if you ate half of it, you'd be like passed out in your chair.
Mm.
Good though.
Really good. Yeah. It makes me want to go get some of this shit tomorrow.
Mm.
I mean, like so good. Their beans are so good. And then, like, just about every place has, like, boudin.
Boudin, oh, I do like that. As long as it's not, there's one that I don't like, and I can't think of which, because there's, like, two different types of that.
Oh, shit, if I know.
One I like and one I don't.
If somebody's like, you want some boudin? I'm like, yep, I don't. I didn't know there were two types. It's just all good to me.
There's one that I don't care for as much, but it's good. Both are good.
There's a gas station around where I work that they have a kitchen, you know, having like fried convenience store food, but they have boudin balls that are like deep fried.
Damn.
Oh, they're so good.
Hell yeah. I'll be turning into them.
Yeah. And like, they're like the size of a golf ball, but they're pretty filling. That size.
Trying to lose weight. Can I eat three? Can I get seven of those, please?
Well, if you're not trying to lose weight, they have some that are the size of a baseball.
Just eat that fucking thing like a baseball.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like a Southern Hospitality apple. Now, if you're really from the Rudd, you gotta eat this apple.
Hospitality down here, even this big ass.
Go ahead, kick your shoes off. Have a bite of this apple. Call that boudin apple.
Is pork strong down there? I mean, is it, or do they have brisket and all that shit too?
Oh yeah, no, they have brisket too, but there's okay. A lot of pork.
I didn't know if it was like dominant with like pork products or.
No, there's quite a bit, but no, I'd say it's well rounded.
Okay, I've been to New Orleans and on the outskirts of New Orleans, but I never really.
Oh yeah, see, I've never been down there. I've never been to Baton Rouge or like anywhere in like southern Louisiana.
Oh yeah.
That's where it starts getting like real swampy and weird.
It rained, and as soon as it stops raining, the sun comes out full bore, and it's humid as fuck.
Yeah, you're on the mouth of like the nation's biggest river.
Yeah.
That the Army Corps of Engineers has decided to just fuck up.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing it for flood control. Just leave it the fuck alone. And maybe, just maybe, that river will weed out the people that deserve to live on it or not. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, don't stop people from going down there, but let them know.
Only the
hard. That land is tricky. It doesn't want you here, and it's not actually land. You said people going to die.
That shit's moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, but the city of New Orleans. Fuck the French. You know,
it was crazy coming into that fucking town too, because you're on a bridge just out in the middle of a fucking lake, and you can't really. Well, when we were going there, it was kind of foggy.
Oh yeah,
you can't see land on either side. You're just driving down a fucking bridge in the middle of nowhere. And the next thing you know, you see parts of the old bridge that got blown out in whatever hurricane that came through. You're like, hey, what the fuck is that? And then all of a sudden, you hit land again.
Army Corps of Engineers, they're playing God.
Playing God with its all.
Let nature take that city back.
It's all about the dikes. That's cool. I go back.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just to hang out for a little while longer, I think. Just to go see, like, I think more, like, historical shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That part is interesting about that place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly don't know why I've never been down that way. It's just
My grandma had a condo in Gulf Shores, Alabama. And it was kind of a... not too long of a drive to get over to New Orleans from there. Most times just go to Mobile, though, when we're down there. You can get a lot of, like, the same food around Mobile. I mean, it's all pretty much the same culture.
Beach trash.
And you gotta go to Mardi Gras parade.
Hell no. That shit looks dumb as hell.
The coolest shit was that these guys that have like the supersized cups full of fucking Super Balls, and then they dump them off the floats.
And they're just bouncing like crazy all over the place.
Everywhere, dude. Like,
hell yeah.
Like, and like guys would come up to the edge of the float and like dump three of them at a time, and they just like everywhere with people running to grab fucking Super Bowls and in moon pies because they throw moon pies off the float.
Oh. Well, the one thing I will do is early in the morning after Mardi Gras, because the parade route is like right down the street from me on King's Highway. And I'm going to walk down there and I'm going to look for change and other shit that has fallen out of people's pockets.
Because you know it has.
Oh, you know it has. Shit falling off people's necks, off their fingers, all the things. I'm going to pick them up. I'm going to find nipple rings. I'm going to find nose rings. I'm going to find pocket change.
Hey, look, it's a Prince Albert. Or Prince, what, yeah, Prince Albert.
How can you tell that? From the smell. Yeah. Well, man, I can't stay on here long.
I got groceries. I got groceries in the car I just came in to say.
Oh, shit.
Good on ya.
Did you get some bacon?
I already had bacon. Okay. I think I'm eating too much bacon because I got fucking coupons that are kind of like catered to whatever the fuck I spend money on at the
it's big all
box store here.
Bacon puns.
There was three coupons for fucking bacon and the little like, you know, like, oh, probably eating a little too much bacon.
You ever get the bacon ends? That's a big clump of just all the extra cuts off the end of the bacon.
Yeah.
The less desirable stuff.
The one butcher that I go to up in like mid to upper Michigan, they've got like huge, like gnarly packages of those.
Oh yeah.
That you can buy that are cheap too.
I love that stuff.
And that's like, those are perfect for making greens.
Mm-hmm. I'll fry eggs that way.
Hell yeah.
Well, Ned. Thanks for hanging out. I'm glad you caught me before I completely got off.
Hell yeah. Get off.
Yeah. Well, you can help me get off next Monday.
Hell yeah. Sounds like a plan, brother.
Hell yeah. Well, I'll talk to you later, man.
Yep. Take it easy, bud.
Adios.
Yeah, bye.
And to the rest of you, adios.